Hey guys, welcome back to my show. In this episode, I have a really special guest with me today. His name is Deke Sharon. Hi Deke, how are you today?
Doing well, thank you for having me.
Of course, thank you so much. So please introduce yourself.
Well, my name is Deke Sharon and I am a tremendous a cappella nerd. I've been singing since before I could speak and sang at church choirs and the San Francisco Boys Chorus, and I did operas with Pavarotti. I sang at every musical and choir I could be in. And then in college, I was the music director and sang in the Tufts Beelzebubs, and turned that into a career of professional a cappella with having started a group called the House Jacks, as well as the Contemporary A Cappella Society of America. And since then, I music directed the Pitch Perfect films and the TV show The Sing-Off on NBC, as well as I was on the Lifetime TV show Pitch Slapped, I think it was called, and a BBC show called Pitch Battle, and blah, blah, blah. You can read all about it online if you really want to. But my whole life's work is to spread harmony through harmony, to get more people singing, and make the world a more harmonious place, both musically and interpersonally.
That's awesome. It's great to hear that you're so much into music. I think just music is just a great way to create connections and meet new people. I am in, like, you know, into choir as well as, like, you know, putting on my new own songs as like a singer-songwriter. And I think it's just really cool how you can just connect with people just through words and music and just the harmonies in general.
Of course. Music was the first art form, the first creative form for humans, and the first instrument was our voice. So a cappella was obviously our first creative output. And like birds and crickets and whales, we sang before we could speak in prehistoric times. And singing is something that's very fundamental and biological within the human experience, I think. Many people think they can't sing, but they can sing. They absolutely can sing. Everybody can sing.
I think that's a very good point. I think just knowing, and just I think once you open your mouth, like even just talking is almost like singing, except with singing you have a tune added to it. That's the only difference, I guess, and it tells a story. And when we speak, like I'm trying to convey something when I'm talking to you, I could give this a tune and it could be a song even. And so that's just the only difference when it's like between singing and talking. And so when I like, even when like two birds are communicating, it's almost like a song, like when they're chirping to each other in tiny tunes. And it's like really beautiful how like everything's just incorporated into nature and just, you know, everywhere.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. So how's your experience been arranging music for Pitch Perfect and all the other shows you've worked for?
Well, I love arranging. My mind is kind of designed that way. I think when I was a kid, I used to do those logic puzzles just for fun and honors math and things like that. And arranging is both an art and a craft. If you're going to consider an art something that exists just for aesthetic purposes, and a craft something that's very utilitarian. So you can paint a chair, and that's art. But if you design a chair, that's really a craft because it ends up being used as well. And a cappella really exists, I think, in both categories, because there's a real utilitarian need in a cappella arranging. Because for those of you who are listening and don't really know how this works, if a garage band is going to get together and play a tune by U2, play a tune by Adele, they just kind of need to know the basic chords and the basic form, lead singer has the lyrics, and they can just launch into the song, because a guitar can strum and play six notes at once. You know, keyboards, you can play as many notes as you have fingers. And the bass guitar will play the note in the bottom, and they all just kind of know how to play together if they've been playing in bands and they've learned their instrument or whatever. The human voice, with rare exception, can really only make one note at a time, which means if you're going to have an a cappella group replicate one of those songs, you really need to decide who's going to be on what note at what time, and what different syllables and background noises you're going to make, who's going to be on lead vocal, and so on and so forth. So it's rather than having big blocks of sound created by instruments, each voice is almost like one strand of sound, and a vocal arranger knits together those strands into a beautiful tapestry that reflects and elevates the best emotional and experiential elements of the song while maximizing the arranger's singer's potential.
Absolutely. I think that's really well said. That just captures like the whole a cappella vibe in one description. I think oftentimes like a cappella is sometimes hard to explain to some people, because a cappella just sounds like a type of music, which I guess it is, but at the same time it's the only kind of instrumentation, at least in terms of like so far as I've explored, it's the only one that you make all the sounds from your mouth or from your body, even like fully body percussions.
Yep.
Say for example pentatonics, right? Pentatonics is fully just, you know, a cappella most of the time. I know they do some with like instruments, but most of the time they're just like a bunch of things where they use their hands, their legs, their mouth, like beatboxing and things like that. And I think that's just super cool about a cappella, right? You can create that same instrumentation with just your own self.
Exactly. And the human voice is the most varied of all instruments. So, of course, a synthesizer can make more sounds, but any other instrument really just sounds like that instrument.
Mm-hmm.
But the human voice can imitate so many different instruments. You can sound like a trumpet. You can sound like a muted trumpet. Or a flute. An electric guitar. And so many different instruments. But we're almost like parrots, that we can mimic so many different things. And that's what's really fun about an a cappella group, is they can sing any style of music from any era in time and take you around the world and take you forwards and backwards in time with just their voices.
First off, oh my God, those impressions are spot on. Oh my goodness, it almost felt like you had an instrument with you. That was incredible.
Thank you.
Yeah, I know, I'm not sure if you're familiar with this artist, but Jacob Collier, I know he actually, yeah, and he does a lot of like, you know, things with his hands. He like conducts the crowd sometimes at his concerts. And what he does is, I remember he did an interview with Zach Sang on one of his shows, and he too did like something similar where he's like imitating different instruments. And I think that's so cool, like how you can just imitate and even just create the same sound for like the flute and like the horn and everything. It's so mesmerizing almost.
Yeah, it's fun. And people can do this. I have a series of YouTube videos, a whole, you can look for Deke Sharon, and they're called Too Many Notes, the kind of the series that I've made where I teach these different instrument sounds. And the bottom line is there's no place to learn this. There's no school where this has been learned. So it's people have kind of figured it out themselves and learned by ear. But our voices really are capable of so many different sounds, but most people don't do that. In fact, through musical history, people created all these instruments to make a wide range of sounds and then stood in front of them and sang the lyrics. And the choir usually sings ooh or ah or words. But now in contemporary a cappella, we're really exploding what the human voice can do. And it makes for amazing vocal tapestries and textures.
For sure. I mean, like a cappella itself, again, it's like a huge concept. Not many people are into it because they do not really know what goes into it. Like, I think a cappella probably is a lot of work. It's a lot of work on your voice, a lot of work on your body, because you're constantly like, you know, trying to create noises from your mouth. Like as you said earlier, right, a guitar will only sound like a guitar no matter how many things you play. It will sound different, as in like have different tunes, but mm-hmm. it's still gonna sound like a guitar. Whereas with your mouth, like you can sound like, if you want to write like a choir song, you can sound like opera. Or if you want to sing like a punk rock, you can make it gritty and like sharp.
That's right.
Like that's just amazing, right? Because you can almost like change characters, if you will, where like one time you're a princess and the next thing you're a villain in your story, when you're telling your story through music or even just anything.
That's right.
So I know you were the founder of like the House Jazz, so what was it feeling like performing with them and just helping them grow as an artist?
Well, this was my dream. When I was in college, I started to experiment with using your voice as an instrument and creating a cappella arrangements. Instead of doing 4-part harmony, we did 12-part harmony and layers of percussion and different instrument sounds, which allowed us to sing songs that were on the radio that other a cappella groups never touched because they were just too complicated, too unusual, too full of different instrumental sounds and textures and rhythms. That didn't really work in a purely harmonic setting the way that people thought of voices. And then when I graduated, I said, I have to keep this going. If people only knew about this style and sound and what you can do with your voice, it would be the biggest thing in the world. So not only did I start the nonprofit society, the Contemporary Acapella Society of America, and the competition that's now called the ICCA, the big competition that's in the movie Pitch Perfect and that happens each year, and compilation albums and a publishing company and festivals and so many different things. I also knew that I needed to create the group that would show people this new sound and style. And we started out 7, but pretty quickly we figured out 5 was the perfect number. And that's really the format of so many a cappella groups now, like Pentatonics. It's the right number of voices, and having one person be a designated vocal percussionist, another person be the designated bass, and then the upper 3 voices flip around and different people sing lead vocals. And I mean, that was my dream. And that's really what I started out doing with the House Jacks in the early 1990s. And the group's still going strong.
Yeah, I think it's crazy just how just having that tiny bit of support from, like, you know, an arranger, just anyone, just puts them on the long run for, like, great success. Like, even now, like, as you said, like, House Jacks are just blooming and growing and growing and growing, and their music just keeps getting better and better, because once you have the foundation down, or like the building blocks down, I think you can just sing anything you want. You can do whatever you want.
Yeah, and it was important for me also as an arranger, as a director, as a producer, as a musician. And it was important for me to be on stage and to have those experiences where I was the one singing, I was the one holding the microphone, I was the one who had to figure out how long are these breaths, how much can I do with my voice, how high, how low. And so I think those experiences and traveling around the world with the House Jacks and performing for almost 25 years was a central part of what gave me the knowledge and the insights, the experience and the perspective and the patience to be effective now that I help other singers work on their craft.
Yeah, I think, like, just having, again, like, for you as well, it was an amount thing that helped you grow as an arranger. I think that's really important, in especially nowadays. Like, people often want to just rush and get things done. They're like, I want to be a singer-songwriter, and then you just start releasing songs that are actually working on your craft. And I know how you just said earlier, right? Music is an art and a craft in itself. It is both things. It is for enjoyment, but also sometimes people take it, like, as an actual thing they want to pursue. And even if they do not, the craft that goes into, like, the effort and the hard work that goes into making music, or just, you know, putting out music through your voice or through your, you know, Spotify accounts and things, I think all of it is just simply craft and art all in one.
Yeah.
So, if you could arrange music for anyone, like, you know, anyone that you've never arranged for, who would it be and why?
Well, it'd be fun to arrange, it'd be fun to put together an a cappella supergroup with singers like Freddie Mercury and George Michael and Karen Carpenter and Ray Charles, and then arrange for them. But, I mean, this is a dream. It's not realistic. Each person's voice is like painting with a different color, and those are some of the greatest singers to have lived in the past 100 years. You know, also Ella Fitzgerald and Louis Armstrong, and you know, that's fun to talk about, but realistically, it's not really the way that it works. And I've been lucky enough to arrange for so very many groups around the world over several decades, so I feel very, very lucky and very satisfied.
Yeah, I think, you know, just having, like, the ideas and inspiration. I mean, obviously, like, having, if that was actually, like, super group that you created, like, where all of them were there, I think it would sound heavenly and, like, really interesting, because all of them, as I said earlier, have different genres they write for or sing. And all of them have, like, this different texture to their voices. Some of them have, like, this very warm, fuzzy kind of feeling, whereas another one is, like, you know, more, like, rock. You know, and like all of them have like this different personality as well, which kind of feeds into their music. Like, none of them sound the same, which is a good thing, because with music it's important to have that adversity and have that difference in voices. Otherwise, like, you're basically listening to the same song by the same artist over and over and over again.
Of course.
Especially now, right? We have pop songs, and a lot of pop songs sound very similar to each other because they have similar concepts, similar artistry, and like similar like modulations and things. But like when we think about rock music, country music, I'm trying to think what else, indie music, right? We have varying stories happening because it has a specific storyline that they're trying to put out. Even with like a cappella groups, right? We have different things happening around here because we have different people representing each section of the song.
That's right.
So my last and final question for you is, what advice do you have for musicians or like anyone who would like to do something in the music industry, be it arranging, producing, or just being in the music industry as just someone who enjoys it?
Well, the first thing I'd say is everybody can and should sing. Everybody can and should make music. There's no entry fees, nobody's in charge, and it will fill your soul for the rest of your days if you make music. However, if you're looking to make music as the thing that's going to be your source of income, I'll give you the advice that I got when I was young, which is if you could do anything else for your income, do it. Because you can still make music whenever you want during your free time, and you can make exactly the music that you want to make, and no one can tell you what to do. However, if nothing I say is going to stop you, welcome to the club. And that's really, I think, the best way to look at it, because the people who really need to be musicians, who have such a strong drive, they wake up with music in their heads, they're excited by it, they have a fire in their belly. And if you don't have that fire in your belly, if you're just thinking like, well, I like music, I could be a musician, no, the people who love it and who are driven by it are gonna get up earlier in the morning, they're gonna stay up later at night, they're gonna undercut your price, they're gonna work harder, they're gonna show up first. Like these people, with rare exception, when someone just gets crazy lucky, but for the most part, it requires an enormous amount of work. And I tell people all the time also, it's called the business of music. You need to spend as much time on the business as you do the music. So again, if you think that you're going to be able to be a musician and just make music and not do anything else, unless for some reason you have an unfreakishly high level of talent, so much so that you're going to be hired as the flautist for whatever symphony, and you literally just need to show up and play flute and go home, and no one will ever expect anything else of you. The number of people like that on this planet are incredibly small. And think about the number of people who are studying flute in conservatories and in their music schools and in their universities and colleges and whatever, and how few of them are actually even going to get paid with any regularity for playing the flute. So it's a very demanding business, and especially now with AI, you want to be a composer? Well, AI is now writing film scores and jingles and whatever, so you're gonna have to be even be that much better. I'm not telling you not to do it. I'm telling you that it's not a free lunch. And the harder you work, the luckier you are, and you got to work real hard to get lucky. So anyway, but for anybody who's out there and they love a cappella and they want to do it, I'm a constant source of free information and help. They can drop me a line. My email is deek@deeksharon.com. And if you're also listening to this and you're like, oh, I love singing, I want to sing in a group somewhere, I'll help you find a group in your area free of charge. You want to start an a cappella group? I will help you start an a cappella group free of charge. You want to start a festival? Great, I'll help you start a festival, and so on and so forth. Whatever it takes to get more people singing, to get more music out there, to get more groups going, to get more festivals or whatever, that's what I'm here to do. And so yeah, like that.
Wow, that's really well said. I think what you just said makes me realize, I have this fire in my stomach, like whenever I'm making music, even just talking to you right now, and like having that passion for music, just putting out music every day. Like I wake up, I have song lyrics already ready in my head. I literally have to keep like a notebook next to my bed to make sure that if I wake up in the middle of the night, I have something to write it down. Because for
That's great.
me, I just come anytime, like math class, singing, choir, anywhere, right? And so I go to sleep, ideas, wake up and still ideas. So I think it's just like, and it's also something like if someone asked me to choose between two different things, like I don't know, going to school or doing music, I would choose music. It's always been like that for me because like, music is just something that cannot be replaced. Like I would rather do music than anything else. And
Well,
I'm
it's
only
still there for you.
15.
Yeah.
I'm only 15 right now, and it's just right now it seems like, obviously there's like this thing where like for a few years you're into I don't know, fashion styling or something, and then the next thing you jump on to the next thing. But for me right now, as of now at least, it feels like music might just be my thing because I'm able to just kind of create like these different kind of music every time I write something. Like sometimes it's just like a rock ballad, and sometimes it's even just instrumentalist stuff on the piano.
Okay. Well, here's my suggestion to you at age 15 and anybody else who's your age. Take every single music class, learn every instrument that you can, one of them really well, piano or guitar, something that's harmonic. Be in every musical, be in every choir or every band you possibly can. Do the after school music of, activities and musicals and productions, whatever. Learn about music from doing it. So you'll surround yourself with that. But of course, still stay in school. Of course, still take your classes
Of
and
course, yeah.
of course. But those experiences you have when you're in high school, like they really will open your eyes up, and they'll also help you figure out what kind of music do you want to make. Are you really drawn to musical theater? Do you really want to be in a marching band? Do you love orchestral music? Are you mostly interested in, in classical or string quartets? Like, what is the instrument you love most of all? And if you do write music, exposing yourself to so many different kinds of music and being involved in music in so many different ways will really help hone your skills and your perspective so you're able to make music in that way so much better.
For sure. And I think just like, as you said, exposing ourselves to that environment, because I think when we try to do things without actually doing it, like we think that we are gonna be a chef, but we never have actually cooked anything in our lives. I mean, just
Right.
saying we're a chef and then out of nowhere, we're like, making stuff, but we have no clue how to do it because we've never tried before. I think what you just said is really important. I think it's just this number one thing that every teenager, everyone actually out there, regardless of age, kind of has to look into where like they're exposing themselves to the music. Like for me, I've been like, get taking a lot of like songwriting classes. I'm also part of School of Rock where I perform live shows. I've done a few open mics. And so that kind of just allows me to like, understand how the craft works, how the business side of it
Yep,
works.
that's
And
great.
just it's just a whole experience.
That's amazing. Good for you.
Thank you so much for being on the show. I love talking to you.
It is my pleasure and congratulations. It's very impressive to see someone your age be so devoted, so focused. I had no idea when you said, "Oh, do you want to do a podcast?" I'm like, "Great, I do podcasts all the time or whatever." And you popped on the screen. I thought, "Okay. She's got something special. She's going to be very successful as she gets older because you're devoted enough at this age to be taking the time to put together a podcast. And you said you've been doing it for years. Good for you. I wish you every success in the future. And just like I offered to everyone else, if there's any way in which our music cross paths, I'm very happy to help."
Thank you so much. It means a lot. Everyone out there listening to this episode right now, I hope you all enjoyed this episode, and I'll be linking Deek's website in the show notes. You can check out his work and feel free to shoot him an email if you need any help with your musical aspirations. Thank you so much, everyone, and I hope to see you all next week.